Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, May 16, 2016. A celebration of SPLA Day turns deadly in Wau.
There is a case of a 17-year-old girl who got shot in her mouth and the bullet came out on the other side. There are two other cases of people who were shot in the chest and the buttocks and the bullets stuck in those parts.
And a Catholic nun is shot while transporting a pregnant woman early today in Yei.
The car was being shot in two directions, in the rear side and then in the side of the driver, where unfortunately she was the one driving and she got the bullet in her hip. She has suffering now from fractures, bones broken.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. During today's celebration of the 33rd anniversary of the Sudan People's Liberation Army, or SPLA, 9 people were injured, some of them critically, by random gunfire. While teaching hospital officials confirmed 5 women and 4 men were admitted with gunshot wounds. SPLA 5th Division officials say soldiers were not told to fire their weapons during the celebrations. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Wau.
Wau residents woke up to the sound of gunshots as soldiers across Wau town fired their gun randomly this morning to mark SPLA Day. 42-year-old Suzanne Stephen, who lives in Wau's Salam residential area, is one of the 4 women injured by the gunfire. Stephen says she was shot at her right leg while still asleep in her bedroom.
I was lying in my bed at around 6:15 a.m. and one of my neighbors was inquiring about why there was gunshot. I told her that maybe the shooting was because of a SPLA day. Immediately, I felt something hit my right leg, and when I saw blood, I started shouting.
18-year-old Robert Daniel says he too was injured as he slept in the compound.
I live in Haidarajat, and I was still sleeping when I was shot on the head. I thank God the bullet did not go deep.
Medical officials at Wau Teaching Hospital says 3 of the 9 injured residents are listed in critical condition. Edmund Sebit is the hospital's medical director.
There is a case of a 17-year-old girl who got shot in her mouth and the bullet came out on the other side. This needs a quick surgical operation. There are 2 other cases of people who were shot in the chest and the buttocks and the bullets stuck in those parts. They also need quick surgical operations.
Sebit says the other 6 wounded citizens are in a stable condition and will likely leave the hospital in a day or 2. Mongong Anyijok, director of moral orientation in the SPLA's 5th Division. He says soldiers were never instructed to fire their weapons as a form of celebration, and says military officials will investigate the incident.
What happened this morning was not ordered by military leaders here. We have even told all the SPLA soldiers that no one should shoot a gun. But unfortunately, some of them are irresponsible, and as a result, many civilians were injured. On behalf of the SPLA, I extend our apology to those who got injured and their families.
Mongong is assuring residents that despite the injuries, no one was deliberately targeted during the celebrations. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
Another unfortunate shooting incident occurred in Yei. A doctor who was transporting an expectant mother to the Catholic Mission Hospital in Yei was shot at a military checkpoint by an officer of the South Sudan Army early this morning. Sister Veronica Rokabak was critically wounded and flown to Nairobi for specialized care. The information minister of Yei River State describes the incident as unfortunate. VOA fellow Tito Justin reports from Yei.
Information Minister Stephen Ladonesimo says Yei River State officials regret that an army officer shot the Slovakian nun in the hip while she was transporting an expectant mother via ambulance to the hospital at 1 o'clock this morning.
The entire government of Yei River State regrets on this incident and condemn it as a barbaric act, an indiscipline act of these suspected soldiers, and would like to see justice is done. This case is clear case and must be taken to court of law immediately.
The acting police commissioner in Yei says police are detaining 5 suspects following the incident. Colonel Jeremiah Maker says police will press charges against those arrested on behalf of St. Bakita Hospital. Ladu says most of the medical facilities in Yei are church-owned and international partners are involved in delivering services to residents of Yei State. He says ambulances are not supposed to be stopped because they are emergency vehicles.
The state government gives sincere apology to the international partners and the Catholic Church on what happened to Sister Veronica. All the government officials are standing by the Catholic Church. The bishops and all the priests are all giving solidarity to Sister Veronica in the hospital. All the citizens of Yei River State are concerned and are standing with Sister Veronica and the Catholic Church in general.
Sister Veronica has been flown to Nairobi for specialized care. The Secretary General of Yei Catholic Diocese, Father Emmanuel Lodongo Sebi, says Sister Veronica is in critical condition.
The car was being shot in 2 directions, in the rear side and then in the side of the driver, where unfortunately she was the one driving and she got the bullet in her hip. She has suffering now from fractures, bones broken, and serious bleeding.
Sister Veronica is a medical director and head of St. Bakita Hospital. She has been working at the Catholic-owned hospital for more than 3 years. In 2008, Dr. Banja, who worked at Yei Civil Hospital, was shot dead by a non-gunman. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Yei.
From Yei, we move to Sudan for another sad news. Hundreds of Sudanese political and civil society activists signed a petition condemning what they describe as the massacre of 6 children in Heiban, where the government of Sudan has repeatedly bombed SPLA rebels and civilians. The government denies the latest accusations. More than 600 Sudanese activists in diaspora signed the petition, which has been seen on the internet, as well as gruesome photos of children's bodies. Signatories say they were horrified by the sight of the torn bodies. The petition states the children were killed on May 1st in an aerial bombardment conducted by the Sudan government planes. The petition says bodies to be recognized were, quote, serious crime in our Sudanese history, one that illustrates the horror and the racism of the wars carried out by the government forces and its militia against Sudanese citizens, unquote. The government strongly denies the accusation, saying some of the photos of the torn bodies might have not been from the Nuba Mountains. Ahmed Bilal is the Sudanese information minister.
Some of the pictures which have been shown is not even from Sudan. It's from Central Africa. Yes, maybe there are some injuries or something. I think this is not correct. Whenever there is movement, progress from the army, you will find this thing.
Bilal says the government of Sudan never kills children.
It's not our intention, it's not our policy to kill children.
The SPLM North leadership has accused the government of deliberately killing children and called on the international community to investigate the atrocity and hold the perpetrators accountable. Salim Mahmoud is a Khartoum-based human rights lawyer and legal consultant. He says the massacre of the children of Heiban is just the latest incident among hundreds of unreported crimes the government has been committing for years against innocent civilians in Darfur, southern Kordofan, and Blue Nile states.
It is also a result of the policy of escortes when the government is using aerial bombardment indiscriminately targeting civilians unnecessarily related to what is happening in the Misri areas.
Mahmoud calls on the international community to pressure the government of Sudan to stop committing crimes against its own citizens and make peace with the rebels.
There is a huge moral, political responsibility to protect the innocent civilians of Sudanese people who are targeted brutally by the government of Sudan.
Mahmoud says without justice, accountability, there will be no end to the human suffering that continues in the three regions.
Without justice and accountability, there will be no end to the human suffering in these three regions. Perpetrators who are implicated in the commissions of these crimes are still beyond the reach of justice. It's time now that those involved in the committing of these crimes should be brought to justice.
The war between the Sudan government and rebels in southern Kordofan and Blue Nile State has continued for 5 years, with government aerial bombardments now intensifying during the dry season. A separate war between the government and rebel forces has been raging in Darfur for more than 10 years. Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir has been indicted by the International Criminal Court for genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, but he has yet to be arrested. Just last week, Mr. Bashir traveled to Uganda for the presidential inauguration. Ugandan authorities did not arrest him. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese men who graduated with degrees from New York's university say they can't wait to help develop their country. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What is your favorite drink?
Tea. Because I like tea. I used to take tea daily. And if one day I miss the tea, it makes me so not comfortable.
I love drinking water. I don't have any favorite drink. Water is health. Besides, I'm not a person who likes drinks like those fizz drinks. They've got so many side effects and the like. So I think water is all right with me.
Of course, I like avocado and mango juice and other things called kerekeda.
Orange juice, because orange juice have vitamin C.
My favorite drink would be a squash soap or pineapple. That's the drink that most of the times I lay my hands on, so I just like it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. More than 200 law students graduated from the School of Law in Syracuse University, and two of them are South Sudanese. The two men are the first South Sudanese to graduate from Syracuse. Both say their studies energized their commitment to return to South Sudan and continue their work for their respective South Sudanese law firms. Ayen Bior attended the graduation ceremony in Syracuse on Friday and has this report.
Matthias Wani Jumi-Loku and John Ada both earned Masters of Law degrees from Syracuse University on Friday, which took a little under 10 months to complete. The South Sudanese men completed courses like national security, counterterrorism, immigration law, international disability law, and the rule of law in post-conflict reconstruction, all of which Wani says are necessary to bring effective change to his community in Juba.
For the next 10 years or 20 years or so in South Sudan, we'll just be talking about governance. Now, when you look at this area of what I studied, are very pertinent to the nation, and that is the reason why I basically specialize in those specific subjects.
When Wani and Ada left South Sudan 9.5 months ago to attend school in New York, there was talk of a potential peace agreement brokered by IGAD in Addis Ababa. Although a transitional government of national unity was finally formed last month in Juba, much work lies ahead. Both men say they are up to the task. Wani and Adam, whose studies focused on American law, say they are honored to be given the opportunity to study at Syracuse, but they are aware of the difficult work that lies ahead of them. Ada works for the South Sudan Associative Advocates, and Wani works for Case Advocates and Solicitors. Both are law firms based in the capital, Juba. Ada says law school in the U.S. was very challenging, and the pressure of maintaining good grades meant he was studying around the clock.
Because every time you need to read for tomorrow's lectures, so that if you got class, you will be asked by a professor, what did you understand from the subject? So reading a lot of things was really hard-working for us, but it has made me to learn a lot of things.
U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, who earned a Juris Doctorate degree from Syracuse, delivered the commencement address. Biden urged the graduates to work hard, but at the same time, to keep family close and to remember why they wanted a law degree in the first place. Biden shook each graduate's hand as they crossed the stage to receive their diploma. Each graduate only had a few seconds with Biden. Wani says he was touched that the vice president seized that moment on stage to speak to him about South Sudan.
Oh, yes. This guy said, you from South Sudan? I said, yes, you have a lot to do. And you have the resources now, which is basically, I mean, the degree itself. So go help your country.
How did you respond?
I said, I will do my best. Home is home.
Wani says he is taking Biden's advice to heart. He says the sooner he gets back home, the faster he can continue working to train members of civil society organizations on national and international law who can advocate for people in need of legal advice.
Many actually have even asked me, professors have asked me here, why I can't apply for asylum here because my country is in war, although they just signed an agreement recently. I told them, you know, this knowledge, I want it to benefit my people. So that is the eagerness why I really want to rush back home, because I think that I have a lot in my head and I want to give this one out as much as possible.
A scholarship from the Open Society Foundation, a New York-based nonprofit, paid for Wani's and Ada's tuition and boarding during their time in Syracuse. Both graduates returned to Juba over the weekend. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
From Washington, we go back to Africa, where Cameroon has arrested and jailed more than a dozen government administrators and project managers in a crackdown on corruption. Many think President Paul Biya, who has been in power for 34 years, is simply silencing his critics. Muki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Among the 14 senior state officials arrested and detained within the past 2 weeks is Joseph André Eyebe Ayebe, the highest-ranking government official in the western town of Bangante. Cameroon's Justice Ministry says he and 13 others were charged by the country's Special Criminal Tribunal for corruption cases and taken to prison in Yaoundé, the capital. Justice Ministry spokesman Etienne Dika says the 14 men are accused of embezzling $9 million that was to be paid as compensation for people evicted from land used for the construction of a deep sea port in Kribi.
Si effectivement on trouve qu'ils ont soit dérobé de l'argent, ils ont détourné l'argent, ils ont.
Dika says Cameroonians who have been advocating for transparency should assist the government in its fight against corruption instead of complaining of political witch hunting. He said charging the accused will help establish the truth. At least 24 former officials, including immediate past Prime Minister Ephrem Inoni and heads of state corporations, have been arrested in what the government says is a campaign against corruption. Among them is former senior government minister Marafa Hamidou Yaya, who insists they are victims of President Paul Biya's desire to stay in power for life. In a letter to journalists, Yaya states that in 2008, he advised Biya not to change the constitution that limited his mandate, but the president neglected his calls, changed the constitution, ran for president, and was declared the winner. Etienne Hamann of Cameroon's non-governmental organization, People's Rights, says it looks like the anti-corruption campaign targets Biya's opponents.
Les gens pensent réellement que, parmi lesquels les administrateurs, que,
he says people think the detention of corrupt officials has political undertones because corruption has continued despite the mass arrest and detention of suspects. He says many Cameroonians are indifferent about the arrests, that were originally intended to discourage the theft of public funds. The communications secretary for Cameroon's main opposition Social Democratic Front, Beatrice Animbom, says BIA should instead ask the suspects to pay back the money.
First, there were ministers and persons of that rank who were embezzlers in this country. Now, it is the turn of SDOs and DOs. Cameroonians are asking that these monies embezzled be returned to the treasury to help build roads and provide water and electricity. That is what Cameroonians want.
The government has complained about lengthy judicial processes and difficulties tracing embezzled funds in foreign banks. But last year, Cameroon said it had recovered $4 million in public funds. The state estimates $152 million in public funds has been stolen. Cameroon law states corruption suspects can be detained and their travel documents seized during investigations. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
A professor at Juba University who is on a leave of absence says he was pressured into taking leave soon after organizing a panel discussion on the creation of the South Sudan's 28 states. Professor Luca Byong left Juba in October and recently arrived in Washington, D.C. to attend several foreign policy discussions and testify before a congressional panel on the political landscape in South Sudan. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
Byong was in Washington to meet with U.S. officials and to testify at a congressional hearing before the U.S. House of Representatives. He says he is honored to be surrounded by people dedicated to international development and foreign policy, the same kind of feeling he had while teaching at Juba University, a post he left abruptly at the end of October, shortly after Byong organized a panel discussion on South Sudan's 28 states. He says the event was designed to help professors, students, and government officials discuss the pros and cons of redrawing South Sudan's map. He says it also was an opportunity to further social and political discourse and was not intended to divide the community.
After the event, of which I invited people from the government, opposition, academia, civil society, just to see the challenges and opportunities for the 28 states. And the idea was really to let the government also hear the views, because it's a public policy issue.
The event struck a nerve with some officials loyal to President Salva Kiir. Byong says people who identified themselves as police and security officers approached the university's administration to demand Byong's removal from the state-owned school. Security personnel accused Byong of misusing his position to trigger division and confusion. Byong flatly denies reports that he was fired from his job.
What I know for sure is that some people came to the vice chancellor telling him, you have to fire Luca
from the government.
And they were talking in the name of the president, even the name of the vice president. And also national security. This is what they claim. So the vice chancellor said, there's no way I can fire this. There's no basis.
Byong says the decision to leave the university was difficult, but necessary to secure his safety.
We came to realize later on that the people who were sent, not necessarily being sent by self or himself. Because these are the people sometimes they use to talk on behalf of the person. But they are having machinery of government in order to. But it is true, it was not healthy for me to be there. But it was almost indirectly, but not directly. So I could not say for sure that self was behind it, no. Or even the government.
The decision to create 28 states was made late last year by a presidential decree. The 28 states are still controversial among civil society members as well as regional bodies. UNMISS and the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission have both said they do not recognize the 28 states because they are inconsistent with the peace deal signed by President Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar in August. Some South Sudanese say the new states will make it easier to deliver services to people, while others disagree. Byong says panel discussions on critical topics such as the 28 states are a necessary part of nation building. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. During today's celebration of the 33rd anniversary of South Sudan Army and the Espalace soldiers in Wau Town shot up into the air, injuring at least 9 people, some of them critically. Wau Teaching Hospital officials confirmed that 5 women and 4 men were admitted with gunshot wounds. An Espalace 5th Division official says soldiers are not supposed to fire their weapons into the air during the celebrations. Wau residents awoke to the sound of gunfire as soldiers celebrated as early as 6 a.m. to mark Espalace Day. Many people were shot while they were still sleeping. 42-year-old Susan Stephen, who lives in Wau's Salam residential area, is one of the 4 women injured by the gunfire. Stephen says she was shot on her right leg while still asleep in her bedroom. 18-year-old Robert Daniel says he, too, was injured while sleeping. Medical officials at Wau Teaching Hospital say 3 of the 9 injured residents are listed in critical condition. Hospital Director Edmund Sebbett says a 17-year-old girl was shot in the mouth and the bullet came out the other side. He says 2 others were shot in the chest and the buttocks. He says all of them required emergency surgery. A doctor transporting a pregnant mother to the Catholic mission in Ye was shot at a military checkpoint by an army officer early this morning. Sister Veronica Rakobek was critically wounded and flown to Nairobi for specialized care. The information minister of Ye River State describes the incident as unfortunate. Stephen Lado Onesimo says state officials regret that the Slovakian nun was shot in the hip while she was transporting an expectant mother. He called it a barbaric act and says those who shot the woman will be arrested. The acting police commissioner says 5 suspects were detained following the incident. Colonel Jeremiah Maker says police will press charges against those arrested on behalf of St. Paquita Hospital. Lado says ambulances are not supposed to be stopped because they are emergency vehicles. And finally, in Sudan, hundreds of Sudanese political and civil society activists and individuals have signed a petition condemning what they describe as the massacre of 6 children in southern Kordofan's Haiban area, where the government of Sudan has repeatedly bombed Espalace North rebels and civilians. The government denies the latest accusations. More than 600 Sudanese activists, public officials, and citizens signed that petition, which have been seen on the internet. Signatories say they were horrified by the sight of the torn bodies. The petition states that the children were killed May 1st in an aerial bombardment conducted by the government. It urges that their deaths be recognized, quote, for what they are, a serious crime in our Sudanese history, one that illustrates the horror and racism of the wars carried out by government forces and its militias, end quote. The government strongly denies the accusations, saying some of the photos of the torn bodies, which include 2 5-year-olds, might not have been from the Nuba Mountains. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with a song, Espalace Woye by Dynamic. Remember, these are not my words, but the musicians. Espalace Woye. Espalace Woye.
Espalace Woye,
are listening to Dynamic with the song Espiele Woye. I used to have a friend who had difficulties pronouncing the word Espiele. He would say Atiale. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.